This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball talk is back. The Miami Marlins around the horn is on Fox Sports 940 Miami. Ain't no coming back from here.
Welcome on back. It's January 20th. I'm Kyle Seeloff. With us tonight is Gabby Sanchez, and this is Around the Horn. Week 3 of our show on Fox Sports 940 AM Miami. With you every Thursday from 6 o'clock to 7. A good show tonight. More on that in just a moment. But first, Gabby, it's good to see you, buddy. Or I guess for those listening, it's still good to see you. But what's going on, man? How's everything?
Everything's going good, Kyle. How's everything going with you? I'm just hanging out with the family, you know?
It's a new year. We're all trying to be safe, do our thing. I'm easing in, dude. We got nothing going on. I'm coasting right now. I'm enjoying doing the show. We can't talk a whole lot about baseball within reason, right? But hopefully things get ironed out there soon, and we can play baseball. But what have you been up to this offseason? Anything?
Nothing much. Just basically spending time with the family during the season. Especially this last season, there was so much going on that you were always just working, either doing radio or doing Bally Sports or doing the ESPN gig. So there wasn't too much time. So now it's basically that catch-up time where you're just Mr. Dad cooking and taking them to school, waking up, doing the breakfast stuff. So just having a good time with the family.
You got through Christmas good? Santa was good to everybody?
Santa was great with everybody. I guess we could say we did catch the corona during Christmas, just like a lot of other people did.
You look great.
Luckily, we had our vaccines and all that stuff, so nothing really happened. We were good, but it stunk because we had to basically back Christmas up.
Oh,
because we caught it on the 23rd, and we couldn't do the Christmas Eve at my brother's house, and couldn't do the Christmas, so we basically just backed everything up. And once we were free and clear, then we went and visited the family members and passed out the Christmas gifts. So it was a really long Christmas vacation.
What's on the docket here over the course of the next month? I mean, we're trying to get ready for baseball a little bit here, but can't get ready for a whole lot right now. What do you got going on?
For me right now, it's just wait and see, just like everybody else. It's just kind of reading the news, see what's going on, trying to just grasp when baseball is going to be back. I don't see it, I don't see any games getting lost by it. I can see that, the teams and the players should come together to some type of agreement to be able to get baseball going. I don't think baseball can afford any type of longer lockout or missing any games. So I think that's something that, the union along with MLB baseball needs to come together and be like, okay, we need baseball to get going and playing. So we got to come up with something.
I think you agree with me then. I think there's way too much at stake to lose a regular season game. I think it could potentially drag out until maybe the beginning of March. To me, once it gets to the beginning of March, something's got to get done. It's got to get done in a hurry. There's a lot of free agents out there that have to sign, and there's way too much at stake here. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. And here's the thing. You have top echelon guys, and they know who they are. And then you got those mid-echelon guys. And those are the guys that are going to be looking right now. Those are the free agents that are like, hey, look, I know I'm going to probably sign to a team, but I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. You may have talked with, teams prior to the lockout, kind of had some type of, thought process of, this is probably my three teams that I could land. But as a player, when you're training in the off season, you kind of want to know, okay, I've got this place, this is where I'm going, this is where my contract is going to be. And I think as that time gets closer to where that spring training mark is, those guys are the ones that are going to feel it the most. Not the top echelon guys. They know that they're going to sign for a crazy amount, but it's those mid-tier players, the everyday players that, could definitely feel it.
You know what the thing is, though? Even with those top echelon guys, Gabby, and obviously you know this from your playing days, imagine the beginning of the first or second week of March. It doesn't matter if you're top or bottom guy. You know you're going to have a big league deal. You don't know where you're going. You don't have an apartment. You don't know who you're playing for. That's going to be a little tough on some of these guys. It's going to be, I'll say this, it's going to be wild when this thing's over and there's 3.5, maybe 4 weeks to prepare in the signings. It's going to be nuts, man.
Yeah, and not only that, too, you can train all you want in the offseason.
Yeah.
Right? We all did it. We trained. You can go out there. You can take your simulated BPs against pitchers. You know, you could do your running on the field. You can do your base running. It is not the same as actually playing in a game.
Right.
And the adrenaline that that brings to it. So, especially when we talk about those top-tier guys, the longer that it takes them to sign, the longer that they're not on the field and that they're not playing. We've seen it time and time again where guys sign late into spring training, season come, they're not ready, and it takes them, you know, 3 weeks into the season to get going. Well, guess what? The teams that pay that big money, they want you from day one to produce.
Yeah. All right, hold that thought. More on that in just a second. Time now for tonight's starting lineup on Around the Horn, presented by Nudge, the official coffee snack of the Miami Marlins in Lone Depot Park. Do the undoable. Two interviews tonight. My extended and full conversation with another top prospect, Joe Mack, is coming up in just a couple of minutes. And Senior Director, Miami Senior Director of International Operations, Adrian Lorenzo, will follow, and we will, as customary, wrap everything up with another edition of Three Strikes and You're Out. Gabby, if you are sitting on March 1st, don't have a team yet, how long in opening days, March 31st, how many at-bats do you need to feel comfortable to be ready for big leagues regular season?
Oh, that's tough, because the biggest thing, it's more about velocity than it is anything else. As long as you're seeing velocity, you can get back in pretty quick. But the problem is you can't just base it off velocity off of a machine, because a machine is going to throw a straight fastball, and that's not what happens in baseball. Yeah, you might have guys who throw a four seam, but even with a four seam, that ball might move a little bit, it might jet. So that's the difference to me. It's seeing that live pitching, that live velocity. Now, can you go ahead and get 15 ABs, you know, in spring training, go around the minor league camps or whatever it is and try to touch up as much as you can to try to get as many ABs? Yes, but again, it's still not the same as being in that major league park facing major league pitchers with their movement. So yeah, you can see velocity, you can start to get your timing down, but you still want that spring training. You still want to feel that you're ready going into the season and not that you're behind, because a player knows when you're behind. Right. It's in the back of your head. Right. You're like, hey, I'm not ready right now. I don't feel good. My timing's just a tick off. It might be just a little bit, but that little bit plays a big part in baseball. So it's that confidence too of knowing I'm ready. If you feel that you're ready, then you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But if you have that little voice in the back of your head saying we're not ready yet, that's when those guys struggle, especially early on.
It's going to be interesting to me, too. Regular season, let's just assume everything starts on March 31st, and I'm convinced it will. Really, I believe there's way too much at stake here for Major League Baseball, the union, and the owners to lose a single game. Now, we always talk beginning a season, maybe a little chilly some places. Pitchers usually have an advantage. How heightened do you think that will be? Because assuming that pitchers are doing their thing at home, to me, there could be a big advantage early in the season before the offense starts to catch up with the pitching.
Well, again, we're talking about the same type of situation. How long is your spring training going to be?
Yeah.
If those starting pitchers and those pitchers and those bullpen guys are able to have their regular spring training, then it's just like everything else. Early on, it's going to be pitcher's advantage, and then the hitters will start to come alive, especially early. In those cold spots, I remember playing in Pittsburgh, and it was snowing.
Yeah.
When we were taking BP.
That feels
good.
Well,
guess what? That's not fun when you're facing a guy throwing 95, 96 miles an hour, and you can't, you know, really grip your bat because you got no sticky that stays on because of the cold. So there's certain places where, of course, I think it's going to, you know, help out pitchers, but, you know, really, isn't that just what baseball is, too? You know, pitchers do have the advantage. It's not easy to hit.
Yeah. If pitchers and catchers don't report on February 14th, which is, I think, the report date, roughly speaking, for all 30 teams, presumably those guys are taking it upon themselves right now. I mean, pitchers have got to get this thing moving middle of February, whether or not they're in big league camp, right? I mean, they can't afford to pretend we've got 3 weeks. I'll just get it going in 3 weeks from now.
No, every single one of these, the position players, pitchers, it doesn't matter who you are. You know what you're doing in the offseason. You have a certain regimen that you go by. You have your weightlifting. You have your throwing programs. Most of these guys, especially big league guys, not the minor league guys. Some minor league guys are still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
But for the majority, big league guys, they already know what they want to do. So right now, they might be in a certain phase of their throwing program, whether it's a phase two, phase three, to know, okay, I'm going to be ready for spring training. So this is what's going to get me ready for spring training. Now, let's say we go into spring training and they still haven't reported yet and things still haven't gone. Well, now they have to take it to where they have to get a catcher to come out to catch their bullpens, and they got to do simulated games. But the good thing about it is that most guys train together.
Right.
So there's a lot of guys, especially pitchers, who already have a catcher that they've been throwing with. And they have guys who can go up there and sim game hit them. So there is that does play a part, but what happens to certain guys who doesn't have that?
Yeah.
You know, if your buddy is an outfielder and you guys are throwing, well, you don't have a pitcher that can do that.
Right. All right, good stuff. He's Gabby Sanchez. I'm Kyle Seeloff. When we return, my extended conversation with Marlins catching prospect Joe Mack. You're listening to Around the Horn on your home for Marlins baseball, not Fox Sports, 940 AM Miami and the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Marlins Around the Horn Show with Kyle Seeloff is on Fox Sports 940 Miami.
Welcome on back to Around the Horn on Fox Sports 940 Miami and the iHeartRadio app. Good to be back with you tonight. I'm Kyle Seeloff, and I'm joined this evening by former Marlins All-Star first baseman Gabby Sanchez. Time now for my full and extended conversation with top Marlins catching prospect, Joe Mack.
Joe, it's been a while, a couple of months since we last saw you. And, well, not many people come out of Western New York in our professional athletes. Has that sunk in? I mean, I'm sure this has all been a whirlwind, but what has this whole experience been like for you?
I mean, it's been awesome. I mean, coming down here in the warm weather and just being in this organization with a bunch of great guys and great coaches and people that I can trust is just awesome. I mean, it's definitely a dream come true. I don't think the reality of it has sunk in, but me being down here and living on my own and being away from my family has definitely sunk in. So, it's just an amazing experience. And if I had to redo it, I would do the same exact thing and be here.
Do you feel the weight of what is relatively a small community that you grew up in, of trying to carry this out where, like, one day, like, we're going to be proud of Joe Mack? Not only are you going to be proud of yourself, but an entire community is going to be proud of you. Do you feel that at all, or are you too young and it's all too far away?
I feel that a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents and my close friends and my family always tell me you got a little chip on your shoulder, so you got to represent. And I mean, once I go back, and if everything works out, and I'm just going to represent Buffalo and show them that people out of Buffalo that play baseball are pretty good and they have chances, and just set an example and lead for New York.
Again, I think there's a lot of guys in your shoes that, you know, if you're drafted in the first round like you were, you pretty much could have gone anywhere in the country and played baseball. If you wanted to go to college and you wanted to play for 3 years where it's regimented and it's structured and you know, then your career can take off from there. Has this experience been eye-opening? Like, leaving home for the first time?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's really been eye-opening. I mean, my mom, I don't want to say anything, but she usually does my laundry. So that's kind of
new. You figured out where the buttons are now?
You're good. I did. I figured it out. I've never had a laundry loop before, and it was an experience. I don't know if anybody's told anybody, but Casey, actually, the first couple of days I was here, I was putting my pants on the laundry loop instead of in the bin.
Tough look.
And yeah, and he told me, don't ever do that again. So I learned from that. I definitely learned that I have to take care of myself a lot more. Obviously, the necessities like brush your teeth and like take a shower, stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's been eye-opening. I mean, I've learned how to do it, and I like it. And I mean, when I go home, I'm with my parents, so it's just fun being there.
Look, I think that's something that, and by the way, you know, like 10, 15 years from now, if you're in the big leagues, there's a lot of stories like that. A young player that was a phenom, but they had no idea how to do anything a month into doing it, right? But I think it's interesting. And have you even felt yourself grow up a little bit? Like, if you want to, Joe, I mean, there's money in your pocket. You could go to McDonald's every night and you could just be like, eh, okay, whatever. Like the choice is yours now, whether you're going to take care of your body, goof off, what you're going to make of this though, right? Like, do you feel that as soon as you leave? It's like, oh, like I'm on my own now. And like, I've got to figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, that I will not be going to McDonald's every single day and buying dollar cheeseburgers. But
it's gotten away from guys doing that.
It has. I know. But one of my favorite places to eat is Chipotle.
Okay.
And my dad says, it doesn't matter how much you spend there, just go get Chipotle. You spend like $10 on a bowl, that's fine. Just go get Chipotle. So, a little quick story. Me and my dad went to Georgia over the summer for about 2 years ago. And for about 30 to 40 days in a row, we got Chipotle.
And you're still not tired of it?
Still not tired of it. And I loved it even more every single day that I got
it. Joe Mack walks through the door. You're ordering what?
Chipotle.
Yeah, but oh. Come on, dude. I know where you are. What are you ordering?
I'm ordering, I'll run you through it real quick. Okay. So it's a bowl, burrito bowl. I get chicken, rice. Sometimes I get black beans, sometimes no beans.
There's white rice, there's jasmine, there's brown rice.
Brown rice.
Okay.
I get extra. Okay. Extra everything. So okay. I get chicken, regular chicken, extra rice, sometimes black beans, sometimes no beans. Wow. And then I get mild salsa, hot salsa, medium Jesus. Salsa. And then I get corn salsa, lettuce, cheese, and sour cream. So I load it up to the mix. I run it through the garden. I do it all. So I get it all. I want it. I love food.
So you leave home, okay? And now you're a professional baseball player. A lot of guys, doesn't matter if you're drafted in the 30th round or the first overall pick, the game is all of a sudden a little bit quicker. Did you feel it? How do you feel?
Yeah, I definitely felt it. I mean, I was catching in my first game, and a couple coaches told me, hey, you gotta speed this up. You gotta pick it up, because pitcher was getting in his groove. He was kind of getting in his memo and speeding it up a little bit. And I was just down there just chilling, just in my catcher. You know how basically in high school the pitcher would be ready and stuff. So I'd just be down there and give him signs. But the pitcher was already in his windup while I'm giving a sign. I'm like, relax. So one of my coaches, he told me that I got to speed it up and I got to be on par with the pitcher and communicate with him about that. So I definitely learned that really fast, and I've done better with it ever since.
I know you were a multi-sport athlete growing up and a terrific volleyball player. When you're catching, you're the quarterback. You've got to have leadership qualities. Do you have them, and do you like that?
I believe I do have leadership qualities, and I do like that I am a leader on the field. I mean, as a catcher, you're looking at everybody, and everybody's also looking at me, so you're kind of the field captain. You got to locate, you got to tell this guy, oh, come here, left, right, stuff like that, and you just also got to pick up your teammates, whether they hit a bomb, and you're like, yeah, let's go, or if they strike out, you're still like, hey, man, like, we need you in this game, like, you got to go out there and make a play, like, it's coming to you next time, so make that play and have another at bat and just go with it. So being a leader is just awesome, and I love being able to help my teammates as much as possible.
You played 19 games up in Jupiter in rookie ball. You hit one home run. Where's that ball, and take me through that at bat, because I know you haven't forgotten.
That ball is in the woods. I don't want pretty deep, I guess. It was pretty deep. It was a nice hit.
You didn't get the ball back? It's just in the woods up
it's
there?
In the woods, yeah. Huh? It's gone.
Okay.
Never find it.
Okay.
So first pitch was a ball. Second pitch was a ground ball rollover to the right.
Foul ball.
And third pitch was a fastball up, didn't swing at it. Fourth pitch, fastball in. And I got ahead of it, and I just smoked it out to right center field. And
felt pretty good.
Yeah, I was laughing around the bases the whole time.
What are you laughing about? What are you thinking about?
I'm smiling. I don't even know what I'm thinking about. Just so many thoughts going through my head. And once you get your first, then it's just...
Did you just feel
calmer.
That?
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a great play catching. You can get your first hit. But we know Joe Mack, like, kid got a lot of power. You hit your first one, you feel it all.
Yeah, the joy, all the emotions just piling through. My first ever pro baseball home run just is amazing. I mean, it's an awesome accomplishment, and I kind of sad that I don't get the ball, but I know that there's more to come, so it's okay. I'll just get those ones instead.
Biggest point of emphasis for you moving forward? What do you really want to work on here?
I'm definitely going to want to work on my catching, my footwork, and my receiving. Those are two really important aspects of my game. And another one is timing for hitting. Sometimes I was a little late during the at-bat, but I picked it up a little bit at the end of the season, started to get on time. And a couple coaches say, be on time to the party, so you don't want to be late to the ball. So that's, I kind of live by that a little
bit. There you go. We'll never forget that. You never want to be late to the party. Joe, thanks for the time. Good luck.
Of course. Appreciate it.
All right, good stuff. Thanks again to Joe for carving out some time for us. And in due time, we will be seeing him at Lone Depot Park. And speaking of coming out to Lone Depot Park, do not miss sweet savings on hot matchups with the opening day bundle in 2022. You can score tickets to 5 games, including opening day, plus a legacy-themed Cafecito Cup set. These were sold in addition around the holidays. They look awesome. You can save over 30% on select legacy Saturday matchups against National League East rivals when the Marlins take the field in their legacy uniforms. Visit marlins.com/bundle tonight. More Around the Horn right after this on Fox Sports 940 Miami and the iHeartRadio app.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Marlins offseason is underway. Around the Horn is on Fox Sports 940 Miami.
Welcome on back to Around the Horn on Fox Sports 940 Miami and the iHeartRadio app. Tonight, with you every Thursday moving forward through February, I'm Kyle Seeloff. Gabby Sanchez joins us tonight. Gabby and I will be back with you shortly. But right now, it's time for my conversation with Miami Senior Director of International Operations. He is Adrian Lorenzo. And just a heads up, this is about half of our conversation. I'll actually go back and upload the entire conversation to the podcast page tomorrow, because once we started rolling, it was a really good and interesting conversation. Adrian, thanks for hopping on, man. I appreciate it. I know how busy you and your staff have been over the course of the last few days in particular. But first and foremost, congratulations on your recent promotion and your new role within the organization.
Oh, thank you so much. That's really, really kind of you. I really can't overstate how excited I am. It's really an interesting time and spot for the international operations for the Miami Marlins. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Adrian, because I think when, like, you're little and growing up, if you can't play Major League Baseball, it's like, I want to be on that field though. I want to be in the dugout. I want to coach. I want to be a part of the Major League staff. And then there's a whole different side of it, international operations, right, where people don't really understand much of it. But what is it that you love and most appeals to you about your job in this role? And really, you might not get that focus and attention that these guys are getting 162 times a year in the big leagues.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of ways I can answer that question, but I guess to boil it down or synthesize it best, it's the opportunity to give young 16, 17, 18 year old kids a chance to start their professional baseball careers and give them, an opportunity to develop as Major League Baseball players, or at least the chance to, and, or just professional baseball players, and have them have that experience is probably the most rewarding part of this whole thing. You know, especially, you know, some of the guys that get a lot of the notoriety are the, you know, Wander Franco, who got, you know, over $3.8 million. And, you know, for us, Yidi Capé, those guys are, they get the notoriety, right? But like, there's so many guys that are in that, you know, that don't get those kinds of bonuses and don't sign until they're 17, 18, you know, like, so to give those kinds of kids opportunities, that's probably the most exciting. And, you know, at the end of the day, I believe, and it's no disrespect to any other kind of scouting, to me, it's the purest kind of scouting. Like, these are 15, 16 year old kids. You need to make a call. You need to make a projection on what you think they're going to be. And so you have to, like, you got to go back to the building blocks of scouting. So that's probably, those two things are my favorite components of this part of this job.
All right, beautiful segue, because last June, the Marlins broke ground on the organization's new player development complex in the Dominican Republic. You, Adrian, obviously have been very, very involved. But this is a massive complex. It's a 35-acre piece of land. There's three big league fields. There's an administrative building. There's 120 beds. There's places for visiting teams to kind of be when they're there playing. Where is this complex in relation to the one that you guys currently operate out of in the Dominican?
Sure. So I would say it's about 20 minutes east, maybe 15 to 20 minutes east, depending on some traffic. So the former academy is more in the Guerra. It's in the town of Guerra. El Toro, which is just a little bit, just a little bit west of where the majority of the academies are. So there's a pocket. Our new academy will be in Boca Chica, and it will be, I mean, we're sandwiched right between, we're right next to the Texas Rangers new complex. Oh. We're right across the street from the Cardinals and the Mets, and down the street are the Yankees, the Rockies, the Giants, the Mariners. So there's a little pocket there of academies that are in, like, squarely in the Boca Chica in the Boca Chica area.
When you were
so that's where the new one will be,
right? Yep. And when you were talking the other day, maybe this is a stretch, but I was listening to you, and I wanted to ask you this: with this new complex, three fields, two summer league teams, you're signing 60 kids or whatever it is. Is it a stretch to say that this really, when we look back 10, 15 years from now, this could be the beginning of a new era of Marlins baseball, or is that unfair to say?
Look, I'm biased and I'm close to it, so I think so. I would argue, I'd make an argument that it's begun to a certain extent. I think you're seeing, you know, guys like, you know, Mesa Jr. and Capé and Yuri Perez and Ian Lewis and Jose Salas. So I would say that those guys probably mark the start of it turning a little bit, but this will be, it's just hard to replicate this kind of injection into the system, like, just from a pure volume standpoint. And then, you know, I feel strongly that the processes that we're applying and the scouting philosophies that we're applying to those, you know, 40 plus players that we're bringing into the organization, I think that the thresholds that we're making sure that these players are at will ensure a caliber of player, or should ensure a caliber of player, that I think we'll see, you'll see those guys start to show up in our system in short order, and especially with the benefits of having a new academy down there that's top notch and state of the art. I think all those things coming together will make for a pretty special time. So yeah, I don't think it would be unfair to say that this would mark, like, the beginning of a new era for Marlins international operations, for sure.
And with this complex, on the administrative side, the scouting side, how much in terms of volume, how much staff have you now been able to add? How many additional resources to help this process?
Sure. So I guess I can start with David Hernandez. You know, he's David Hernandez Bain being the full name. I'm not sure. I think you might have met him, come across him. He was working with the Major League Club doing some video stuff on the Major League staff this year. He is my manager of international scouting. And so he's kind of handling a lot of our just a lot of our operations, logistics, a lot of our administration, a lot of contract submission. But he's also he's doing a whole lot of scouting for us. He oversees our weekly academy tryout process down in the Dominican Republic. So he's traveling there regularly. And this is I bring it up because it's a key part of what we're doing here. Every week, our scouts in the Dominican scour, you know, their areas. They each have their own respective areas. They scour the area. And then at the end of a week, we bring them all to a tryout on Fridays and then get a second look at them. And that's, you know, David runs that process for us, as well as just, you know, kind of helping with anything that's necessary. He's been a tremendously impactful hire and a tremendously impactful employee for us here. And then, you know, most recently we hired Romano Cumares as our director of international scouting. He was previously the Latin American scouting supervisor for the Houston Astros for quite a long time. Roman is Dominican, born and raised in the Dominican, played professional baseball, has worked with the Indians, the Angels, and most recently the Astros, with the Astros, I believe, for 7 or 8 years, has even done some amateur area scouting in the U.S. For the Astros, was involved in a bunch of really interesting signings. I guess the one that we know about the most is Brian De La Cruz. Was an original Astro that Roman was part of the scouting process with. Enoli Paredes, Framber Valdez. You know, so it's quite a good list of guys that he's been involved with. And he, you know, we had a pretty thorough interview process for this position, because I felt strongly that it was important for us to have a leadership type of position in international scouting that was full time based in the Dominican Republic. Because in my opinion, the majority of international scouting and international operations with player development happens in the Dominican Republic. So it was very important to me for us to have a boots on the ground, you know, top level evaluator that's part of the leadership group. So we're very, very lucky to have him on board, and he's made a day one impact. And then we hired also two international cross checkers. One is Manuel Padron, who we hired from the Toronto Blue Jays. He was most recently the Blue Jays area scout in South Florida, and he's now an international cross checker for us. Manny and I used to work together with the Red Sox. He was our coordinator of Venezuelan operations. So every trip that I would make to Venezuela was in the car with Manny. Manny and I have spent countless hours in the car crossing all over Venezuela. So Manny is going to be heading up our Venezuelan operations. You know, he'll be kind of our regional supervisor in the Venezuela area. And then we promoted Adrian Puig from pro scout to international cross checker. So he was working in our pro scouting department for the last couple of years. Before that, he was the area scout for the Marlins in South Florida. And he's coming on board to be a cross checker for us, just to be another level of upper level evaluation. And then we've added a few more area scouts, one in the Dominican Republic in the east, and then one in Venezuela out west.
When you say you're adding all these people, mm-hmm. that would seem to me like you weren't playing with a full deck of cards in recent years, when maybe there's other organizations out there that are fielding a full complement of a scouting department. And there are people sure. all areas of the globe, you know, South America, whatever you want to say. What challenges presented themselves in that regard, and what doors now open when you just sit here and tell me all these different people that have been added, roles and responsibilities, mm-hmm. and what they're going to add to this organization?
Yeah. Look, so at the end of the day, I think any international operation or any scouting operation, I think a domestic amateur scout would tell you, a pro scout, pro scouting director would tell you that, you know, you're only as good as your scouts. So that's especially true in the international space, because you as a decision maker are only as good as the players that the area scout can present to you and can show you to evaluate. And that in the international space, that's very nuanced. There's so relationship based. That's so you have to be like very diligent every single day about, you know, going to all these different corners of your region to find players. So when you're short staffed, you don't get the opportunity to see those players. Right. And I would say over the last, you know, in the past, were we dealing with a short deck? I guess relative to the rest of the industry, maybe at times. I think there was always the intention to grow to this point, just for all sorts of different reasons that, you know, that have happened over the course of the last couple of years. That's right. just made itself difficult. So all the COVID related difficulties that we've had stateside, I'd probably say that those have been multiplied, or those were multiplied, when you scale it out to international. We had some complications like growing the staff, but I think we're at a point now where the machine is moving, and we're seeing players from all corners of the areas that we scout, and then some.
I want to go back to something you talked about a couple of minutes ago when you said weekly tryouts. self-admittedly, I don't know enough about the international side, but it's always fascinated me where a 15, 16-year-old kid becomes a big leaguer and people have never heard of him. There's weekly tryouts? Like, where do these kids come from on a weekly basis? I really – explain that to me.
Yeah, so I'm going to be I'm going to try to be as limited as possible in describing it because I don't want to give away, you know, our whole philosophy as to how we find players.
Okay, right.
But basically, so our area scouts, let's just take the job of an area scout on a, you know, he starts his week on a Monday, right, in his area. And so he's got to be in communication with multiple trainers and agents, and you know, he's got to keep a list of the players that he's interested in seeing that week, or seeing for the first time, or seeing for a second or third time, hopefully. So, you know, the area scout will see a player of interest on Monday that he liked. And if that player is age eligible to enter the Dominican Academy, our Dominican Academy, then we will invite him to show up on Fridays to the Dominican Academy. And then our whole scouting group is there, our whole area scouting group. Right now, it's only limited to the Dominican Republic. You can bring in players from other countries, but that's more, there's more hoops that you have to jump through. And obviously with COVID protocols, it just makes it a little more difficult. So that's been primarily in the Dominican Republic, although our Venezuelan scouts do their own version of it in Venezuela as well.
Really?
But the main function for us, or the main platform, is the DR Academy. It's kind of why the new academy is so important, right? Because we operate, it's the center. It's like the heart of the department is the Dominican Academy. But back to the tryout. So on Fridays, we'll just have a group of pitchers and position players that are age eligible to enter the academy. And we will host a tryout. You know, they'll run 60s. They'll make their throws. They'll take infield, outfield. They'll take BP. And then we'll go into a game setting. And it's just a good way to evaluate a larger group of players with all of our scouts there. And it's a good opportunity for, you know, myself, for Roman Okumarez, for the cross checkers, for David, to have like a weekly, you know, we can set a trip every week to be at the academy on Friday and feel like we're seeing all the work that was done the week prior.
Interesting.
It's a big part of our decision-making process.
The area scouts, this is where I've always felt a little ignorant, but I've always wanted to ask this. When these guys are going to find 15, 16-year-old kids, age-eligible kids to sign, are they going to local parks? Is it all like organized baseball? Because, you know, you hear the stories like, you know, this guy, he was flicking bottle caps in a back alley in the Dominican and hitting with you know, like, you hear that stuff, but how do you find kids?
Yeah, so I'd say those kinds of stories, you hear them too. I'd say that's not giving enough credit to the Dominican baseball infrastructure that's currently in place. It's a lot more organized even without having the types of facilities. So I think it depends, right? There are higher profile agents and trainers who have the resources to have their own large scale academies. You know, there are some trainers in both the Dominican and Venezuela that have full blown academies with dorms and like, it's a really professionally run shop. And then there are other guys, smaller time or smaller programs that don't have those kinds of resources and are closer to what you're talking about. The fields that they're playing on are really limited. The baseballs, the equipment, it's all a little of a lower caliber, but at the same time, it's the job of the area scout to scout both of those kinds of programs. So he's got to be networking with all the trainers in his area to make sure that he's seeing or being given the opportunity to see, you know, all sorts of players. And it comes down to the area scout, you know, being diligent and exhaustive with his search and his desire to find players, and that's how they end up with the players that they see. But they're out there every single day scouting.
You always hear those stories like, oh, there was this outfield kid X, Y, and Z years ago, and some guy came up to him and said, have you ever thought about pitching? And you know, he gets on the mound, he's like 94 with a change. Oh well, you know, whatever. Anyways, the Dominican Academy.
That's true though.
Right.
That's true. And our scouts are trained to, you know, if you identify, let's say, an outfielder with a really good arm, and let's say the bat isn't up to the standard just yet, you know, it takes some conversation and convincing to see, like, hey, have you ever tried throwing off a mound? So our scouts are very much trained to see, you know, identify conversion candidates like that, not just as pitchers, but, you know, maybe infielders that could be catchers or infielders that should be outfielders, things like that. So, yeah.
All right, thanks again to Adrian for hopping on. And again, there's more to that conversation. I had to cut it down due to some time constraints tonight, so I will post that entire conversation tomorrow for you on the Marlins podcast page. When we come back, Gabby rejoins us for three strikes and you are out on Fox Sports 940 Miami and the iHeart.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
The Miami Marlins Around the Horn Show with Kyle Seeloff is on Fox Sports 940 Miami.
Back here at Around the Horn on Fox Sports 940 Miami and the iHeartRadio app tonight. I'm Kyle Seeloff. He is Gabby Sanchez. And before we hit the road, it's time for three strikes and you're out. Brought to you by Loop. Baseball cards do not have an offseason. Check out the number one sports card app at Loop. LOUPE.cards. That's Loop, LOUPE.cards. All right, Gabby, here we go. This is fun. It's my favorite segment every week. I'm going to say strike one, strike two, and strike three. I'm going to give you the topic. Then we're both going to give our answers. You're going to go first each time. You ready?
Well, is strike one like the least, strike three, then you're out? So is each topic, how does this work? You got to explain this to
me. You're going
to
find out. Strike one. Give me one thing you wish you enjoyed more in life.
One thing that I wish I enjoyed more in life. I would say hot sunny days.
Yeah. Too sweaty? You just sweating through shirts? I hear you.
Yeah, just too sweaty. I wish I enjoyed it more because when you're in the cold, you definitely appreciate it. But when you're dressed in some nice clothes and you walk out and it's a hot sunny day and you start sweating through it, I don't like it.
Yeah, and you immediately turn back around. You're ready to go back in the air conditioning. Okay, so this is a little unfair because I can see these beforehand. I don't give you the luxury of seeing these beforehand. I thought about this. The one thing I wish I enjoyed more was TV series or like Netflix stuff. I have no attention span for it. Everybody talks about shows, binge-watching shows. I'm not interested in the slightest in any television series, movies, anything. Sad, huh?
No, so like Ted Lasso, you didn't care.
Okay, so Ted Lasso and Breaking Bad are the only two things off the top of my head I've ever watched and I absolutely loved. But I hear all these other things, I just have no time for it. Like, it just doesn't interest me. Kind of bizarre. But so I did love Ted Lasso.
Schitt's Creek, you didn't like? Schitt's Creek, you didn't go for?
No, I have no idea what it is.
Oh, see, that's one. That's like a Ted Lasso. You'd like that.
Yeah, but it just doesn't interest me. Wild. Okay.
All right. Well, they're quick.
All right. You know? You're trying to talk me into it. You're a good salesman, Gabby. Strike two. What subject do you find to be the most fascinating?
Like school subject?
Any subject in life.
Well, right now, I mean, the most prevalent one is this whole entire lockout.
Really?
Yeah, it is, because it's interesting to see both sides. When I was a player, we only saw one side of it. You know, now when you step back, you start to see both sides and you can understand, you know, okay, I can see why they're saying this. And then the players, I definitely see why they're saying this. So it is fascinating to see, you know, how it goes back and forth and, you know, how they get these deals done.
Okay, here's a little insight as to how my brain works, because that's more realistic and topical. Mine is astrology. Space fascinates me. It really freaks me out that we're sitting on a planet and I don't know what else is out there and I want to go see that it's infinity.
That vast.
I can't even talk about it because it really, I don't know. It doesn't freak me out, but it fascinates
me. I'm in on you. Can I change my answer to yours? Because that's way better.
All right. That's fine. I thought about it and I always look up at nighttime. I'm like, what's out there? There's another me out there. I know it.
You have the app to tell you like the stars and where the planets are and stuff?
No, but I'll have to get it.
Yeah, it's really cool. All right. Enjoy that.
Strike three. I like this one. Your favorite video game of all time?
Woo-hoo. I guess I have to go Halo, the first one, when it first came out.
All right. That's a
good
answer.
It was the first time where like you could go online and play against other people. Like that to me was probably the coolest thing ever. and play with your friends as you're talking with them. Like that, I would have to say Halo.
That was good. I was more of a Call of Duty guy. I'm going to give you two. Again, I cheat a little bit. MVP Baseball 2005 for PS2 and Manny Ramirez on the cover, and MVP NCAA Baseball 07. That's when I was a junior or senior, junior in high school. College baseball, video games, awesome, aluminum bats, smashing baseballs. It was awesome.
Those are good. I mean, I was going to go old school because I can, I mean, Mike Tyson's Punch Out was definitely
there. You go.
The whole time. So I like, I mean, I still have Mike Tyson's Punch Out that I'll play.
There you go. Gabby, it's good to see you, my man. Thanks for the time.
No, thank you for having me, Kyle. You're awesome. Amazing. Always.
Good
answer.
Can't
wait to be back in the booth with you.
Good answer. Your check's in the mail. That's all the time we've got for you tonight for Ricardo Wanche. Back home at the Fox Sports 940 Miami studio and Gabby Sanchez. I'm Kyle Seeloff saying so long and good night. I'll be back with you next Thursday on your home for Marlins baseball, Fox Sports 4 940 Miami and the iHeartRadio app.